Welcome to the 2 minute drill. I am Tomas Romo alongside Luke Marco, and we're here to break down college football. We got picks, we got insight, we got predictions, we got everything. And that's why I'm absolutely excited to get this thing going. It's episode one. Lucas, how are we feeling? College football is back, baby.
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm pumped up. It's exciting week. This weekend's got some good games on the calendar. I'm excited to dig in, talk about it, talk about who we think is going to come up on the victory side of things for these conferences. And it's exciting, man. It's an exciting time in college football.
We know week zero was last week, so come on, we're aware that college football is going on. There's great slate of games. I think you'd agree with me looking at some of the bigger matchups this week, and I think this is probably one of the better slates of week one
Yeah.
college football we've had in a while.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even today's a Thursday, and I think we need to be grateful for the fact that we got Boise State playing University of South Florida right now, and we get Nebraska and Cincinnati tonight. We're starting this week off with a bang, even week zero, starting with Iowa State, Kansas State. So it's a great place to start, and it's exciting first week.
I don't know if you saw this because you brought up week zero and Kansas State, Iowa State, but did you hear about the altercation that happened between Avery Johnson's dad and apparently his brother after they lost that game?
Not only did I hear about it, I saw it on camera, and I hope they figure out what's going on with the family there. I think it's just better when you win. When if Kansas State wins, they probably don't have that problem.
You're right. Also, too, Avery Johnson, I mean, just go into that game for a second. I mean, you look at the stats and you would say, wow, he played a great game, but the numbers kind of lie. I mean, a lot of those passing yards just came on one play touchdowns. And don't get me wrong, it's not like he played horribly, but there were a couple plays he could have made that pretty much were the difference maker in them winning and losing that game. And especially playing Iowa State, two ranked teams in the same conference. That was make or break for both teams. We're talking about college football playoffs on the line in week zero, and Kansas State came up short.
Yeah, I think that's a tough thing when you're not an SEC team or a Big Ten team. If you're in the Big 12, you need to win all your conference games. You can't afford to lose a game. If you don't win the Big 12 conference, you're probably not going to the playoffs.
I mean, just thinking about it, big picture. The SEC is going to be so dominant this year, just thinking about the teams and with the playoff expanding, obviously. But I see this as a opportunity for maybe some teams like your Iowa State, your Kansas States to potentially sneak in because you know what? The SEC is going to beat up on each other. Your LSU, it might lose a couple games. South Carolina has been a talk of the town. Texas, I mean, Texas has got a matchup. We're going to get right into it week one against Ohio State. And if they lose that game, all hell's going to break loose in Austin, Texas. I mean, Arch Manning has something to prove. And I think that's where we got to jump into right then and there. Ohio State, Texas, number one versus number three. Wow, what a game.
Yeah, what a game is right. I mean, talk about an electric start to the season. Both these teams, a lot of rebuilding. I think total, was it 26 players total in the draft from a combined Ohio State and Texas team last year? I really do think Texas gets the win this game. I think Texas is going to be the more dominant team on offense. I know we got Jeremiah Smith, coming over from Ohio State. I think the issue there is Texas did a great job of defending him last year. If you actually go back to that playoff game, they stopped him. Ohio State was just a better team, and they won the game. But you keep him out of the game, Texas wins. And I think Texas defense is going to give him a very hard time. And I know we're talking about Arch Manning has a lot to prove, and he does. But joining over Ohio State, playing quarterback for this first ever start against the Texas Longhorns, the number one team in the country, he's got something to prove. And I think that UT defense is going to give him a whooping.
I will say this, you know me well enough, Luke. I love the quotes. I love the guy that walks into a fight and he's not afraid to run from it. And Arch Manning had a great quote. They're kind of talking, they asked him, you're the number one team in the country, everyone's
Got
trying to
aura.
take you down. And he goes, the tar he end of quote, he goes, the target's not on our back. We have a red dot on everyone else. Talk
Yeah.
about a freaking quote, man. That something like that. For a guy now coming in as the starter, he is the guy for this team.
Yep.
Man, that's gotta fire up. That's gotta fire up the players. I mean, talk. I think they already know Arch Manning has some type of swagger, some type of confidence to him. But man, hearing my quarterback say that as they're about to go on the road to play the defending national champions at their place, I just have a gut feeling that Arch Manning is gonna go out there and he's gonna throw for like three touchdowns, he's gonna throw for 300 yards, and he's gonna have a great game. I also think he punches it in the end zone. I bet he scores a touchdown. The way he's gonna be able to use his feet, I think is going to be a game changer against Ohio State, because everyone wants to talk about what he did last year in his limited playing time. And, you know, they even used him on occasion, even when Quinn Ewers was that quarterback, you know, short yardage situation, goal line situations of like, hey, let's use Arch Manning's legs. We're talking about an entire year of him as the number one quarterback, an entire offseason, an entire fall camp, and a summer, all of it. And now the lights are bright, the lights are turned on, and I don't think I've ever been this fired up to watch a University of Texas team play. And that's coming from a guy who went to Texas A&M. I mean, my gosh, I am absolutely excited to see this guy play quarterback, because without a doubt, if he goes into the draft this year, he's a QB1. A lot of people want to criticize, like, oh, he doesn't have enough on tape, or, you know, it's maybe too soon to judge. But I'm like, no, he's got something. He's got it. And I really do believe that.
Yeah, I think if you actually watch his limited playing time last year, you realize he's got some juice to him. And I think the big difference this year for Texas offensively is Quinn Ewers running the offense was very limited. He doesn't have the running ability that Arch has. There's a reason Arch came in the game when they needed to get a few yards on a shortened distance.
Also,
So
too, let's get real. From pure arm talent, I think Arch Manning is a better passer than Quinn Ewers. Don't get me wrong, Quinn Ewers had the development. He had, you know, he's been there before, right? He was the veteran, if you will. But I mean, watching those two guys play quarterback, they're different type of players. I mean, Arch Manning a lot more elusive in the pocket. He's able to escape. He's able to use his legs. And I think guys rallied around him very well in a different way than they would with Quinn Ewers. And a part of me thinks if Arch Manning was playing last year, maybe Texas does win the whole thing. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Tomas, you know my opinion on that. I think that Texas defense was, in my opinion, one of the best defenses I've ever seen in my life. They gave every team hell. I think the one thing that truly limited Texas from making the national championship, and I hate saying this, and obviously it's not just my opinion because I think NFL teams saw it. Quinn Ewers dropped to the seventh round, and he is surrounded by so much talent offensively, and one of the best defenses in the country. And I just think when Arch won the game, you just saw this explosive, dynamic offense. And I think, well, let me be very clear, going into week one against Ohio State, it's going to be a learning game. I think both defenses are going to be the key in this game. Can you stop Smith for Ohio State, and can you stop Arch? And whoever stops the other guy more is going to win the game. Texas is going to win. Arch is going to come out explosive. But I do think it'll be more low scoring than people are expecting.
I will say this. This is a little tidbit for our listeners. This will be the fifth meeting between Texas and Ohio State. The past three of the four meetings, including the last two times they met in the regular season, the winner has gone on to play for the national title.
Crazy.
Talk about a stat for you. I mean, you're really looking at a potential championship preview, week one.
One versus two in some polls. Yep.
I will say this. I think we need to flip the script and talk about Ohio State's quarterback. Julian Sain will be making his first start. I mean, he played a little bit here and there last year. He took 27 snaps in four games last season. But I really don't know what to expect from this guy. I mean, I'd count you as the QB whisperer of the group. You know what I mean? Between me and you're the QB guy. So I kind of want to hear your thoughts on what to expect from this guy. What do you think Ryan Day is going to, you know, how is he going to build this offense? How is he going to set him up for a game plan, knowing, hey, you're about to play the number one team in the country in your first career start?
A great question, and I think it's very opinionated, any response regarding him, because we don't know. He was a highly recruited quarterback. He was committed to Alabama for a while. Nick Saban retires, goes to Ohio State, and I think I think we both know what they want to do to make him comfortable. It's throw the ball up to Smith. What else would they want to do? You have the best receiver in the country. Throw the ball up to him. And I think this game is going to be so much pressure on Julian. I think he's going to have a very tough time. I think that Texas defense is going to make his life miserable. And it's going to be a big wake-up call. Welcome to college football. And lucky for you, you get to start your career against the number one team in the country.
I will say
Real
this.
learning game.
I will say this. I don't, I mean, I assume there was a, method to the madness, but I always found it kind of interesting that they waited so long to announce him as the starter. I think
Yep.
everyone knew he was going to be the starter, but I felt like they did have some type of competition in camp when I don't know. I just would have thought if this guy is the guy, right? He's the guy you're going to build around since day 1A. He's my starting quarterback. And that's not really the type of, I would say, message that Ryan Day was putting out there. Another fact, too, quarterbacks making their debut against the number one opponent since
No.
2010 are 0-16.
See, the pressure's on him. People think it's Arch. It's not all on Arch.
Now, also, too, I just think. Comparing, everyone wants to talk about like Texas, right? And all the guys that they lost. But people forget about the guys Ohio State lost. You lose
Yeah, look
Judkins and you lose
at that
Travion
backfield.
Henderson.
Yeah.
That was a 1-2 punch that was able to take off a lot of pressure off of Will Howard and Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith is going to be a top five pick whenever he decides to go to the NFL, right?
Yeah,
He
he could be number one. I mean,
could, exactly. He could be the potential number one overall
he's
pick.
the top guy.
I will say, someone's got to throw him the football, right? And it's and you got to be able to stay in that pocket and not and also too. A part of me is thinking that he's going to get in this game against Texas, Julian Sain, and just try and force feed it to Jeremiah Smith, and
Yeah.
that's not going to work well for him at all.
100% agree. You look back at the game last year, as I said earlier, Will Howard could not get the ball to him. Texas did a great job of stopping Jeremiah Smith. I don't see it happening. I don't think this kid's going to do better. I think he may throw the ball up, and I think two UT guys may be there, and one of them comes down with the ball.
So, let's make our predictions. I got Texas in this game. I think you have Texas as well, right?
I have Texas. It's an interesting spread. It's dropped over time. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think a month ago it was OSU 3.5.
It was
And
O. I think it was O. It opened at OSU -3. It's now 1.5.
1.5. I mean, if I'm a betting man,
You taking the
I'm taking
points or you
Texas
going
plus
money?
1.5.
Are you
I'm
taking the
taking
points?
Texas regardless. I think Texas wins the game.
I do. A part of me thinks Texas wins by a touchdown, truthfully.
I could do that. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see a world where a guy coming in making his first career start against the number one team. I know he's at home, but come on.
It's a big ask.
It is. It is a big ask. So I'm curious to see the game plan from Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but hey, it doesn't get any better than that, dude. One versus three, no complaints on my end. Another very big matchup we got to get into is LSU versus Clemson.
Yes.
I want to hear your thoughts on this because
Obviously.
I've been going back and forth with this game all week, right? You have Klubnik, right? You have a guy that coming into college, he was going to be the future number one overall pick, Heisman winner. He was going to win another national championship for Clemson. On the flip side, you have Garrett Nussmeier, who is now being talked about as being the number one overall pick in this year, next year's draft. You have Brian Kelly versus Dabo Swinney at death in at Clemson, right? At Clemson,
Death Valley.
Death Valley, right?
Yeah, put
Quotations around that,
the quotations there.
right? And it, I mean, you're talking about two of the best quarterbacks facing each other head to head in week one, right? And this is where my SEC bias creeps in, but I just want to. I look back to last year, right? When Clemson played South Carolina, they lost that game. I believe they were at home too. I
They
believe that
were at home.
they were at home, rivalry game. And it was a low scoring affair. I think they lost like 17 to 14, I believe. Hear me out. South Carolina's defense last year was nothing special. And the fact that Klubnik looked very overwhelmed against a mid to a below mid SEC caliber defense makes me think he's going to struggle a little bit against LSU. I a part of me is thinking that. I think this might be a lower scoring game. In between the two quarterbacks, I kind of want to lean Nussmeier a little bit. Not that I think he's, light years ahead of Klubnik, but on just what I've seen on film and, maybe pure talent, I think Nussmeier has looked better.
Yeah, I think there's a few points to touch on in there. I think to start out, let's talk about the LSU defense. Because you make the valid point of South Carolina didn't have very good defense last year and they give Klubnik a hard time. LSU under Brian Kelly has been terrible on defense. I mean, absolutely awful. Look at Jayden Daniels when he was there. They could put up 50 points a game and then they'll give up 55. And they'll somehow manage to ruin his Heisman season. I just think Brian Kelly does not fix the defense, and that's going to cost him probably his job at LSU by the end of the year. He's making these championship promises, and I just don't think that's fair. But I also understand he has not delivered while at LSU, and I think Dabo Swinney gets the win. I think Klubnik plays better than Nussmeier, and I don't think Nussmeier is the number one quarterback in the nation. I know some people are saying that. In my opinion, he's not top five. I look at their team last year. They had a very talented offensive line. They had him at quarterback, good receivers, and I just think it's not going to happen.
I
They're
will say
not, LSU fans are going to be very disappointed this year, is what I'm saying.
LSU has lost its last five season openers, including three straight under Brian Kelly. Remember last year when they lost to USC?
USC.
Everyone was going, "Oh my gosh, USC, they're back."
Yeah. Oh, then, they beat two SEC teams, though, if you look at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think that Clemson is the more experienced team. I mean, they're returning
And
eight starters on
they're
both
at
sides
home.
of
They
yeah.
are at home. That is a huge. If LSU was at home, I'd take LSU. But because Clemson's the home team,
I want to say
I give
this.
them the edge.
I do want to ask your opinion on Nussmeier getting his number changed and everything that
18.
came with that. I thought that right there was, in my eyes, insane. I go, this is something that one is has not been done in like a decade.
2003, pretty sure is the
And
last.
yeah, well, shoot, 2 decades, right? 20, almost 20 years.
So.
Secondly, if I'm an NFL executive, I just see LSU do this, knowing how long it's been since the last time they do that, considering they've had Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow.
Burrow.
And neither one of those guys got that. I don't know. I that right there is saying that there might be something there that we don't know yet. And I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it could be a desperation move by Brian Kelly. I know it's a crazy take.
It could be. It could be.
It could be 100%. A lot of these coaches, when they don't perform, they try to find any way to win. And this is the I think it's a win for their program because it gets the fans very involved. People are very bought into Garrett Nussmeier, and I just don't think he deserves the attention he's getting.
Really?
I do not think he's a top five quarterback in college football.
So, okay, so because I want to get into that, I want to get into the top five quarterbacks, right? I'm kind of with you too now. The more and more I've looked at this game, the more and more I've thought about it. I mean, the spread right now is 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5 for Clemson. I don't think Clemson covers 4.5.
A
I
tough
don't think
spread.
that. But I think they win the game. I do think they win the game. I think there's a lot of value on getting LSU plus 4.5 because I can see Clemson winning by a field goal, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I really do think Clemson's is going to pull it out this weekend.
Well, the big question is going to be this is what the game rides on. Has Brian Kelly finally fixed his defense during his time at LSU? Is this the year? I don't think so. I
Yeah.
think history repeats itself. I think they struggle on defense, and that's why Clemson gets the win.
Okay, so now I want to get into this because I think this is something our listeners would love to hear. So who are your top five quarterbacks in college football?
Good question. I think Arch Manning is definitely top five, and that he needs to earn that right, but I'm gonna go ahead and give it to him. I think DJ Lagway, I mean DJ Lagway was a huge recruit. You could see the flashes of potential at Florida, the flashes of greatness last year when he got the play before injuries, obviously. DJ Lagway is someone to watch out for. He's a dark horse in my Heisman candidates. Cade Klubnik, I think, has to be in the top five. And I know he's been a little inconsistent, I would argue, during his time at Clemson. Like you said, like South Carolina game struggles, but then he goes on the road, plays UT, first round playoffs, and he actually balled out.
Yeah.
Their defense could not contain the UT offense, but he actually had a great game. From there, I'd actually really think about this.
You're at three. You got three guys now. You're
We
at three.
got three. I mean, to me, I think there's a lot of potential in Dante Moore out of Oregon. I could see him having a great year, that Oregon offense. Then again, I think you and I could go in the Oregon offense and probably throw for some touchdowns, to
I
be
could throw the
fair.
ball, maybe. I could maybe sling it against. I could maybe sling it in that Oregon offense. I mean, we saw what Dylan Gabriel did. I mean, it doesn't. It
Oh, he
seems like it
struggled a
doesn't.
lot.
Yeah, it seems like it doesn't matter who they put back there. I mean, they're able to just go up and down the field at ease. I will say, I think there are a couple guys you haven't mentioned. Lenore Sellers, Drew
He's
Aller,
up there. I
Drew
mean,
Aller.
I do not, I don't think Drew Aller is a top five quarterback. And I know some people have him going number one in the upcoming NFL draft.
And why aren't you high on Drew Aller?
I don't see the greatness that other people see. I'm also not bought into Penn State as a team. To me, every year it's a disappointment. I know they made the Final Four last year, but to me, they lose the big games, being Michigan and Ohio State. They will always be that number three Big Ten team. But let me say this: I do think Ohio State offensively has a lot to learn this year. I think Michigan, I mean, we both know Michigan's going to be. We'll see. You don't really know. Bryce Underwood has a lot of potential. You're paying him a lot of money, so if
$12
he doesn't win some games,
million.
there's a problem. And I do think this is the year Penn State actually could win the Big Ten.
Also, too, I mean, a couple guys worth mentioning as well. I hate to say it, but I mean, you have Carson Beck. You do have Sam Levitt, who did just have a fantastic a year at Arizona State, leading them to the Big 12 title. Also, another guy that I think is gonna put, surprise some people. He's been in the news for the wrong reasons, but John Mateer. The guy, the Washington quarterback who transferred, Washington State quarterback who transferred to Oklahoma.
Likes to gamble a little.
Apparently he likes to gamble. Big Venmo guy. Did
Yep.
you actually see this, that they've now partnered with Venmo? College football has partnered
Yeah, I
with Venmo,
saw that.
which
A
I
different world
think,
almost.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Realistically, I do not know how that works, because if you think about it, I think college footballs might be just covering themselves for situations like this to occur.
Yeah.
But I think for me, when it comes to my top five quarterbacks, number one, no doubt in my mind right now, is Lenore Sellers.
Number one.
Number one.
I think I'd put him in this. I'd put him at probably four or five, but number one.
Number one. Number one.
I
Number
mean,
one.
when he's healthy, even if you look at last year, talking about LSU, they would have beat LSU if he never got injured, and they lost by three. So they would have been a 10-win team in the college football playoff. I will say that.
I just think what his ability to throw the football down the field as well as run the ball, everyone wants to compare everyone now because of what happened with Anthony Richardson, right? Because they're very similar prospects, right? Very similar. However, there's a difference between Lenore Sellers and Anthony Richardson. Lenore Sellers, I believe, knows how to play the quarterback position. Anthony Richardson was hero ball 24/7. There's a difference. Lenore Sellers has been given the opportunity to develop. They just threw Anthony Richardson in the fire because he was the best athlete and he was throwing the ball 70 yards down the field and running guys over at 20 years old. I mean, people forget that this guy is young. He should still be in college, probably, right? Think about it. Think what happens if he didn't. He got. I know was a top five pick, but my gosh, imagine if he played two more years of college football. There's a big difference there, and I think the closest that Lenore Sellers resembles to me is Cam Newton, truthfully. And I see that. I see that. I'm just saying. I really do believe that this is a guy that is going to put college football on notice this year.
So
South
is South
Carolina.
Carolina going to the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of my bold predictions. South Carolina is going to the playoff this year.
I mean, that's not even a crazy prediction. Again, if he didn't get hurt in the LSU game, they would have been in the playoffs.
And I think that's another thing too, is being able, the best availability is availability. Like, I mean, come on, like the guy's got to be able to not get hurt, to stay up and you know, maybe slide, maybe get out of bounds. I think that's one thing about him. He's such a physical guy that he doesn't mind putting his head down and running guys over, being physical. I love that. You know, you're a quarterback, you can do it great, but Lenore Sellers, right? For him, he's definitely one of my Heisman front runners. So if I had to go my top five quarterbacks right now, Lenore Sellers at one. Two is Arch Manning. Three, I hate to do it, but it's probably going to be Drew Aller. Four is Nussmeier. And five is going to, it's either going to be for me, Jon Mateer, or it's going to be DJ Lagway. DJ Lagway, the only thing that stops me with him is I don't even know if he's going to play. Like, everything I've heard out of that Florida camp is he's either like banged up and then all of a sudden he's fine. He's banged up and then he's fine. He's banged up then he's fine. I also think that if Jon Mateer somehow gets Oklahoma like nine games, we're talking about a guy who's going to get drafted potentially in the first round next year.
Yeah, he's gonna be a good quarterback.
And I just think a lot of people really don't know what to expect from him because he was in the Pac-12. Or yeah, he was the last one of the last members of the Pac-12 still
Well,
playing, and no one was staying up at 11 o'clock at night to watch him play who, Hawaii? You know what I'm saying? I just think now you're in the SEC, you're now at Oklahoma. Let's see what you got.
yeah, I think he's gonna do great. And under Venables, OU has really struggled offensively. It did well when Gabriel was there, but you watched him last year with Jackson Arnold, you know, now at Auburn. We'll talk about him playing at Baylor tomorrow. But I think OU will have a much better offensive year. And I would think that they could get 9 wins. They have a very tough schedule. And hopefully getting 9 wins keeps Venable's job by the end of the year. You know, he's on
So,
the hot seat. A lot of these coaches in the SEC
yeah.
are on the hot seat. You got Napier, Venables, you got Hugh Freeze. These guys
No.
need Brian Kelly. They need a win.
No, you're right. You're right. And you brought up a good point. Auburn playing Baylor tomorrow. Let's segue back into some of our game previews.
Yep.
Auburn going to Waco. I know you're going to be boots on the ground in
I'll be
Waco, Texas tomorrow.
there.
Who do you got?
Unbiased. I am going with Baylor. You look at the turnaround that Baylor had last year, it was actually incredible. Baylor really struggled early in the year, but Sawyer Robertson became the guy. And I think he carries that momentum into tomorrow. And he has a great game. And I just think year three under Hugh Freeze and Auburn, I don't think they're there. I think they're going to struggle offensively. And I think Baylor's going to be the better coached team and the more prepared team, they will get the win. I'm taking the underdog at home. Biggest game in Waco in 5 years.
And you don't think anything about the SEC factor plays into play?
Not at all.
I
I
do
don't.
find it interesting that Auburn's contemplating the idea of playing three quarterbacks. I think that's insane.
They're not, that's what I'm saying. Offensively, I think they're going to have a very hard time. Baylor will be the more coached, physical, more prepared team. They're going to go, in my opinion, win. I know they're the underdog by 2.5 right now. I just don't see them losing that game. You got to also remember, this is the biggest game in Waco since Jalen Hurts and OU came to town. And that was a long time ago.
You're
The
right.
fans are excited. It's going to be a good atmosphere. What are we going to see? Three quarterbacks going for Auburn? You don't win when you play three quarterbacks. You win when you play one quarterback and you have the guy.
Another big game that I think we need to get into. Notre Dame, Miami. This is
Big
on
game.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Miami at home. They're 2.5 point underdogs against Notre Dame, a team that surprised everyone last year. I don't know about you, but I like the Fighting Irish. Carson Beck, I think he sucks. I think he sucks, and I don't think him going to that Miami offense is going to make him any better. He got his Lambo or Maserati. He dumped the Cavender twins. He's popping bottles in Miami. I don't think he's focused. I don't think he's down there in Miami focused on football. That brother is partying. And that alone is all I need to know. That I'm taking Notre Dame because you know what? They have probably the best running back in the country in Jeremiah Love, and they are going to run the ball down the Hurricanes' throats.
You're fine, Tomas. There's a few things I think you're right about, and there's a couple things I think you're wrong about. One, they are going to run the ball down their throats. You have to feed him. I think Notre Dame at quarterback is going to be inconsistent, struggle on the road. Miami does not have the most fans at their games, but they have some of the rowdiest fans. I'm not a Carson Beck fan. I think he's going to struggle, but I do think Miami wins at home. I truly just believe in Mario Cristobal. I think a good coach makes all the difference. And I think Notre Dame, they're just coming off a championship loss. They're not going to be at the caliber they were last year. And I think it's going to be I think they're going to struggle week three against A&M at home. I'm right now leaning towards A&M, but you know what that means when I'm saying that. I'm leaning towards A&M over Notre Dame in week three, but talking about week one, Miami Notre Dame, give me the Hurricanes. I'm riding with the underdog again at home.
I just think that something about, I don't know, I just don't believe in Carson Beck.
That's fair.
I just don't believe in him. I don't think he also to hear me out. We saw what Cam Ward was doing last year, and there's a reason why he was the first overall pick. You're basically taking that same situation, almost like in the aggregate, and you're going to throw Carson Beck and say, yeah, do the same thing. I don't think it's going to work.
Tomas, I think the only thing to say is we're going to find out.
And that's what I'm saying is, I mean, imagine they just get punched in the mouth that game, right? Week one, they get punched in the mouth. Carson Beck turns the ball over a couple times, and he looked like he did last year, right? We're talking about Miami going up in flames. Also, too, is it really going to be a true home game? We know it's played at Hard Rock Stadium, right? It's not played near the campus. It's like 45 minutes. You got to get on a bus, right?
Well,
Let's get real.
Miami fans didn't go to Miami. You got to remember that.
Exactly. Also, too, let's get real. I need the kids that actually go to Miami, they're probably partying way too hard to even get on the bus and make it to the game. Just saying. The beer's probably $20 at the concession stand. They ain't paying that. All I'm saying is, Notre Dame's going to come in ready to rock. They have a leader of men in Marcus Freeman.
That's true.
And
Great cover.
I think they're really going to put on Carson Beck on Sunday.
We'll see. I'm taking Crystal on the Hurricanes, and we're going to find out.
Well, let's say this. This is the one thing that we are going to like to do on this podcast. We're called the 2-minute drill for a reason, right? So here's our, if you will, fastest 2 minutes. I'm going to say out the games. Our picks expert, Luke Marco, you should see what this guy's been doing the last couple years in college football. He is the man. He's got the timer out, 2 minutes. How many plays that we can get in the next 2 minutes between the next couple, the next this weekend's games. Lucas, are you ready?
We're just picking winners and losers, correct?
Winners and losers. Winners and losers, but hey, actually, I gotta be fair. If it's a short spread, I'll make a deal. If it's a short spread, if it's 3 or less, you can just say who wins. But I will give you the spread. I will give you the spread.
All right, give me the game and let's go from there.
All right, starting off Friday night, Georgia Tech at Colorado. Georgia Tech -4.5. What are we thinking?
Colorado +4.5. I think that spread is crazy. I think the Colorado offense is going to put some numbers up, and I think they get the win. They're the home team. I think
Syracuse
I'm in.
at Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 13.5. What are we thinking?
Not buying the Tennessee hype this year. In my own rankings, I have them at 25. Give me Syracuse +13.5.
The Fighting Zach Calzadas of Kentucky at home against Toledo. Kentucky 9.5-point favorites. What are you thinking?
Man, what a crappy game. I mean, Kentucky money line. I guess Kentucky might sound happy, though they never have a chance. Every year they can't put points up.
Bama going to Florida State to take on the Seminoles. Bama has struggled. Actually, sorry. Bama has been fantastic in opening game. 13.5-point favorites on the road. What are we thinking?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say Florida State +13.5. Could very well get blown out by 40. I think they changed around. I think they put some points up, but Bama definitely wins. Florida State +13.
Big spread, Michigan at home. Bryce Underwood making his debut against New Mexico. Michigan, 34.5 points. That's a lot. What are you thinking?
Then you got to take New Mexico +34.5. I think the Michigan offense is going to be, you know, they're a slow offense. The University of Michigan is going to take time, and Underwood's got to learn. I mean, they just need the. I need New Mexico to lose by essentially 5 touchdowns.
South Carolina, Virginia Tech, Lenoris Sellers. He's 7.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, I take 7.5. Give me South Carolina.
And now, to end the pod to end the two-minute drill. Bill Belichick at Chapel Hill making his debut against Josh Hoover and TCU. Who's winning that game?
Could be the toughest to pick, to be honest with you, because you don't know exactly where you're down. North Carolina, I got 3 seconds here. Give me TCU money line. Give me North Carolina plus 3.5.
Wow. Okay. I like that. There you have it. The fastest 2 minutes, the quickest 2 minutes, maybe a little longer than that. But hey, this is episode one of the two-minute drill. We got college football all season long. Luke, it was a pleasure.
Man, it was fun. I'm looking forward to talking next week, and hopefully we talk about my wins from this week.
To all our listeners, tell your friends, tell your families, tell your neighbors. Like, follow, comment, do whatever you got to do. But the two-minute drill is here, and it's here to stay. We'll see you next week.